702.
Call Refilwe on 011
883 0702.
So the 1st of December has been designated World AIDS Day. That's been the case since 1988. It's an international day dedicated to raising awareness around the AIDS pandemic, which is caused by the spread of HIV infection, and of course mourning the lives of those who died from the disease. While organizations such as UNAIDS acknowledge the huge strides that have been made since the first recorded AIDS case in the early 80s, the world is still far away from ending the HIV pandemic. The theme for 2021's World AIDS Day is End Inequality. Inequalities End AIDS. So there's a direct line there. To help us shine a spotlight on the HIV and AIDS pandemic in the era of the COVID-19 pandemic, joining us is our resident GP, CEO of Proactive Health Solutions, Dr. Fundile Nyati. Dr. Nyati, a pleasure as always. Good morning.
Good morning, Rufilwe, and good morning to all of your listeners.
Dr. Nyati, 2021 marks exactly 40 years, four decades since the first cases of HIV and AIDS disease were first discovered and described in the United States. We've come a long, long way from there. Just give us a sense of the kind of thinking around HIV, the kind of thinking around AIDS at the time as doctors and scientists were deliberating over just what they had on their hands.
Yeah, no, we really have come a long way since 1981, when the first cases were, discovered. I think it was in San Francisco in the U.S. And in those days, it was largely in the, community of people who are described as homosexuals. And so the belief then was that this is just something, a disease that is just for that group of people, and therefore the stigma that was associated with it at the time. But also, around about the same time, some scientists were picking up similar type of illnesses, in the continent of Africa. So there was this belief that this is something that was imported from Africa as well. So there was a lot of confusion then, but it took 2 years before they could actually nail down a germ that actually causes this thing, which was in 1983. Mm. And since then, we've been working as the medical community, the scientists, on how to actually treat this. And there's been so much advances from toxic antiretrovirals those days, high doses of AZT that actually sometimes caused death in people, to now a point where we've got very, very safe antiretrovirals that are much easier to take. You no longer have to take like 20 tablets per day, one tablet with three tablets inside, or three, chemicals inside, much easier to take. Great strides have been made, and the ARVs now are not only for prolonging life, that is treating those who are positive, but actually they are now also central in prevention. Yes. As in things like pre-exposure prophylaxis and even post-exposure prophylaxis. So really, a lot of good work has been done over the four decades. But obviously, the challenge is that all of that good work is not accessed by everybody across the world, especially those who need it most. Hence, the theme that is talking about, breaking down the inequities of access and ensuring that even the marginalized have a voice in the dealing with this pandemic. Mm.
To stay on the theme of for this year, for World AIDS Day, what does all of this mean in the context of COVID-19 as we sit here and talk or bear the brunt of vaccine inequality? Yes. And, we're talking about vaccine apartheid as well. How has COVID-19 impacted or further entrenched inequities to healthcare for HIV and AIDS?
Yeah, I think the one thing that broadly, people are sort of aggrieved about, they're saying, well, you've had this COVID for only just about 2 years, but you already have got vaccines for it. but people who have been looking for vaccines for HIV and AIDS. It's been so many decades, and you guys still don't have anything. That's where the conspiracy theories are actually coming true. So that's one issue, you know. But, you know, the pandemic itself has led to resources being redirected to COVID-19 research, you know, and maybe less resources towards, you know, what is still needed in the HIV and AIDS space. So that's another issue. Mm. But there's also an upside, though. Some of the great research that has been done, the vaccine technologies that have come up from the COVID-19, like the mRNA kind of technologies that are very successful in COVID-19, are now being, you know, researched for use in HIV, which is bringing a lot of hope, mm-hmm. but also the targeted type of vaccination in terms of certain parts of the virus itself. These are the technologies that are coming through with COVID-19, and they're also providing a lot of promise. So it's not all, you know, negative, the COVID-19 in terms of the HIV. Actually, there are positives. Only we will see the benefits in the next few years.
Mm.
So that has been, you know, the impact of COVID-19. And obviously, in terms of patients who are living with HIV, there's been a challenge, especially in, you know, developing countries where people have been scared to go and access their treatments from facilities. And so, as a result, those who were well controlled under treatment have now, you know, been out of control. And obviously, the downside of that is getting resistance from the germ because they've not been taking that treatment properly. So that's one problem, reversing the gains in terms of being well controlled under treatment. And so it's something that at this time, whilst we are now still battling with the fourth wave that has just started in South Africa, we must be mindful that we must not only just focus on COVID-19, other diseases like COVID-19, sorry, like HIV and AIDS, hypertension, diabetes, and others, cancers, we must continue to provide treatment for those.
Mm. From a state and healthcare provider perspective, are services back to running as efficiently or as they did before? Because obviously we know that that initial hard lockdown really prevented anything from happening, and I'm sure that's where the beginning of that decline or falling off regarding people's HIV and AIDS treatment regimes, that's where it all started to happen. Are services back to normal? Are people able to access services as they used to be able to?
Well, you know, a number of NGOs that have been focusing on the other, you know, types of illnesses, the non-communicable diseases and other conditions have raised their voice, you know, to say to the government, we acknowledge the good work in COVID-19, but you know what? It's not the only problem that is a public health problem that's facing, you know, this country. So I think the services have largely gone back to the previous levels. But one other aspect that needs to be addressed, though, is that the people themselves, you know, who are supposed to go and get those services, they are the ones who, for fear of contracting, you know, COVID-19 in those facilities, despite all the reassurances, they still are reluctant to go and get their, you know, treatment when they're supposed to see, you know, for the follow-ups. So I think there's more awareness and education that needs to be done to reassure the people that, you know, we are still providing these services, and these are the measures we are taking to make sure that you are not unnecessarily exposed to COVID-19.
Sure. Yeah, those non-pharmaceutical interventions. Dr. Nyathi, the World Health Organization is giving an estimate, or has you know, has estimated that about 680,000 lives were lost in 2020 from complications of HIV infection, but also giving, you know, giving out numbers that about 1.5 million new HIV infections were noted worldwide. What is this? What can this be attributed to? If you can just talk about the number of fatalities, but then talk about the new infections as well. Are these advances when it comes to the new infections? Are the advances in, you know, pre and post exposure prophylaxis or advances in treatment of HIV, have they made everyone relax and, you know, let down their guard as far as the educating and messaging around HIV?
Well, it's one of those very, very, you know, unfortunate situations, you know, where advances that are supposed to make things better, more lives to be saved, and less infections to be, you know, to come true. When now the very things may inadvertently, you know, actually reverse the gains on the prevention side. So one, the more we have now these tablets like for pre-exposure prophylaxis, that is people taking the treatment prior to engaging in high-risk sexual activity. Now people know about that, and you know, concerns are now being, you know, shown that because of those advances, some people are slacking on the regular use of condoms, for example, you know. So the advances are actually causing, you know, a damage in another area of prevention, you know. And so that's one of the things, even the post-exposure prophylaxis where people are getting tablets, you know, for treatment for 28 days after, you know, a risky exposure within a 72-hour of that exposure. Again, so those advances which are really supposed to be adding to the arsenal of prevention, you know, strategies, the APC, in some instances, they do cause a bit of harm in that area. So, yes, it is a major, major concern. But on the other hand, the level of awareness by some people about the fact that, you know, if they are in high risk situations, you know, sex workers, you know, men with sex, having sex with other men, and transgender people, you know, there still needs to be more awareness in those kind of communities about the benefits of, you know, strategies like the pre-exposure prophylaxis. So, yeah, basically, we mustn't slack, you know, on the education and awareness, and ensure that that which worked before these treatment preventions, prevention treatments, is actually still working, and these just add on top of that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Dr. Nyathi, when we talk U equals U undetected equals untransmissible, that slogan in HIV prevention, yes, what are we talking about?
You know, this has been one of the global, you know, messaging that has been coming through, that undetectable equals untransmissible. Now, this is talking to people who are on antiretroviral therapy to say if they are taking their treatment properly, usually takes about 12 weeks or so before when they do tests, they will find that the viral load is undetectable using the tests of the lab. So when one has got undetectable, you know, viral load, that means their ability to shed the virus and infect their sexual partners is also almost zero. So basically, it's about highlighting the benefits of taking your treatment properly. And in from a public health point of view, that U is equal to U actually helps in the reduction of the circulating virus in the communities. So that's a benefit, and it's something that now has been proven. Unfortunately, once again, not everybody who's on ART uses their treatment the way it's supposed to. So that benefit is not always, you know, realized, and that is what we're talking about. U is equal to U.
Compliance is key, right? And then, yes. Dr. Nyathi, in South Africa, government is contemplating COVID-19 booster shots early in 2022. Can you just expand on that? And of course, the benefits or the implications for those people that are living with HIV and AIDS, or and also on antiretroviral therapy treatment.
Yeah, I think the starting point is also on the people who are living with HIV at this moment. It is important. HIV has been identified as one of the comorbid, you know, illnesses that puts them at high risk of severe disease, hospitalization, and death. And so if you are HIV positive, please ensure that you take your treatment. That's the first level of prevention of COVID-19, is by you taking your treatment properly. That's number one. And then number two, getting vaccinated is another level of protection against you know, COVID-19. So that's the message. But then number three, because the level of immunity you attain after getting the vaccine as somebody who is HIV positive, especially if you are not well controlled, it's not as high as somebody who doesn't have HIV. Then it is important that, you know, that immunity is boosted. So our government has, you know, is contemplating extending booster shots to everybody, especially those with high risk like HIV, from around January next year. So people must get ready to take advantage of that, because that will be actually in the middle of the current fourth wave that has just started.
All right. Dr. Nyathi, thank you so much for your time and your insights this morning. Really appreciate it. And of course, we'll chat again next week, Saturday, just after 6:30.
Thank you very much.
All right, Dr. Fundile Nyathi, our resident GP and the CEO of Proactive Health Solutions.